World War II has come to be known as the Great War, and it was fought by America's greatest generation. That included African Americans, but their story hasn't been told with the detail that their history may dictate. ASU history professor Matt Delmont recently completed his year-long project, Black Quotidian, Everyday History in African American Newspapers, and that led him to another project about the lives of African Americans during World War II. Delmont, who's become director of the University School of Historical, Philosophical, and Religious Studies, has been awarded a Guggenheim Fellowship. That'll give him the opportunity in 1 year to focus on researching and writing about the war and its impact. And Matt Delmont joins me. Matt, how much did your work on African American newspapers push you and inspire you to look into this specific part of history around World War II?
You know, the project I worked on for African American newspapers, Black Quotidian, really sparked my interest in this. And what fascinated me was when you look at those war years from the late 1930s to the 1940s, the day-to-day coverage of African Americans in relation to World War II was just fascinating. You'd see things in the Cleveland Column Post about groups of brothers who were going off to fight in the war and talking about what it was like for their family back in Cleveland and talking about what it was like for their neighborhood. And just the day-to-day sense of struggle that was going on for African Americans in the war, thinking about how they were, what they termed it was the double victory campaign. So trying to fight against fascism abroad and then also against racism at home. It was a day-to-day story. And the war really looks different when you approach it from African American perspectives.
When we look back at that, you know, people talk about it as the Great War, and there was something that really brought Americans together into sacrifice. Let's look at pre and post. Did anything change for African Americans, especially those who fought for their country?
It did. Coming back from World War II, a number of the people who become the most prominent civil rights activists, someone like Meg Revers, they were World War II veterans. So they come back after fighting abroad with a renewed sense of possibility, what they can try to accomplish in the country. If America played such an important role in defeating the Nazis and the fascist forces, that made a claim about what America could do in terms of bringing democracy to the world, right? And for African Americans, first and foremost, they want to see democracy at home, mm-hmm. right? And so they came back from World War II with a sense of, you know, this is something we need to fight for in the South, but also in other parts of the country as well. I think more broadly, it still took 2 decades for any real change to take place. The armed forces remained segregated until 1948, so there were still day-to-day battles we fought to try to get the ideals of the country that were on paper to actually be part of the lived experience of African Americans.
I don't want to say these are apples to apples comparisons, but we've heard certainly about the Japanese internment camps where Japanese Americans were put in those camps, and yet many of them, maybe to show loyalty or maybe just because they didn't have a choice, fought for the U.S. despite how they were being treated. How difficult was that for African Americans who were going through these racial aspects of things and living a day-to-day life, which was uncomfortable for most, if not all of them, and yet deciding that this was the way they wanted to give back or commit in some way?
You know, it was a real challenge. African Americans have always fought bravely in our nation's wars. Coming out of World War I, a lot of African American veterans came home and thought that would be the chance to finally end racial prejudice and racial discrimination in the United States. They thought, you know, if we show our patriotism in World War I, this is going to be the thing that finally turns things. It doesn't come to pass in the 1920s and 30s. But again, with World War II, African Americans who choose to fight in the Army and Navy, they are faced with a real dilemma, right? They're asked to join segregated military. It's segregated down to the level of blood donors, right? So they would have separate blood banks for African Americans, separate blood banks for whites. So this is such a clear paradox that they're asked to confront, but yet so many of them chose to confront it because, again, they're fighting for a set of ideals that are at the core of what our country is meant to be about, and they want to see those actually be part of the lived experience of what life was like for African Americans in the United States.
Was there an optimism attached to that?
There was. And as you say, it was a fighting optimism, right? I think that would be the best way to term it, that they saw the United States claiming the mantle of democracy, right, mm-hmm. and trying to push back what they saw going on in Hitler's Germany. And they thought, you know, if the United States is going to say that they're going to be this kind of country, they want to hold the United States to that word. So I would say it was a fighting optimism.
Was there a special connection that African Americans had to any particular aspect of what was going on in different theaters around the world?
So for a lot of African Americans, usually from the United States perspective, we think of World War II starting with Pearl Harbor in 1941 when the U.S. becomes militarily involved. For a lot of African Americans, the war actually starts in 1935 when fascist Italy invades Ethiopia, which was the lone independent country in Africa at that time. For all intents and purposes, that's when the fight against fascism starts. African American newspapers are covering it on a day-to-day basis. They see this as a threat that impacts African Americans in the United States. So there was a great deal of attention to how the European powers impacted the United States. There was also quite a bit of attention to the ways in which Nazi Germany was modeling their Nuremberg laws, the way in which they were treating Jewish people there after what was going on in the American South, right? And so African Americans by the 1930s already point to these similarities between the Jim Crow South and Nazi Germany. And so I think it renewed the sense of urgency to fight and to defeat fascism all across the world.
Have you found any African American editorials that were critical of
perhaps how African-American troops would have been treated, because that would have been a risky point of view. And yet maybe for the audience they were writing to, maybe it fit.
Absolutely. And so one of the real cruxes of this history, one of the things that will come out in the book, is African-American newspapers were really deemed dangerous at this time by the U.S. government because it was considered sedition to be openly raising some of these issues about the fact that the treatment of African-Americans in the United States was not something that the United States should be campaigning on. Right? You had lynchings going on. You had a huge number of race riots all across the country, major cities like Detroit, New York, Los Angeles, but also on military bases. African-American newspaper wanted to bring attention to these issues, but that was a threat to the U.S. government. So a number of the newspapers were actually nearly formally charged with sedition for raising these issues. And by the later part of the war, they start to tone down some of their more politically oriented coverage. But absolutely, you saw a huge number of editorials that were really putting their thumb on these issues of racial animosity in the United States.
Well, one of the great things we often hear about coming out of World War II is the GI Bill. Is that something that African Americans were able to take advantage of?
Both yes and no. So some African Americans were. The GI Bill, though, because it was administered at local levels, was a discriminatory bill in its total impact. So you had cases where African Americans, if they had to go to their local registrars in the South to appeal for the GI Bill, they weren't made eligible to take advantage of some of the benefits of it. Mm-hmm.
Matt Delmont is director of ASU's School of Historical, Philosophical, and Religious Studies. We've been talking about his Guggenheim Fellowship and research into African Americans and World War II.